In this hour, coming up, we're going to have a bit of a strange conversation, and I hope that, you'll bear with us because it will stretch your imagination beyond belief. And it's about the merging of souls. This young lady, her name is Jeannie Klein, has had it happen to her. Somehow she has managed to merge with another soul, a deceased soul. If that's not strange enough, the soul she has merged with, hold on to your hats, is Superman. Well, actually, not really. She's merged with the deceased actor, George Reeves, with his soul, believe it or not. Somehow, inexplicably, these two share a soul. I'm not sure how it works, but we're going to be speaking with Jeannie and her good friend and therapist, Gary Duncan, later on in a few minutes. It is a very, very strange story. A story that, if you're sitting down, you'll be okay. If you're standing up, you just might fall over when you start hearing the kinds of things that will stretch your imagination beyond control. So I'd like to welcome Jeannie at this time, Jeannie Klein, and Gary Duncan. I want to kind of get an indication from you both, Jeannie, just as an idea. You were 13 years old when the spirit of George Reeves came to you. And apparently it happened on the day that he of his demise. I believe it was June 16th, 1969. And
59.
Yeah. And, pardon me, yeah, 59. And it happened all at once. I know we're going to get into this more deeply, but I really have a great interest in finding out, did this thing hit you all of a sudden? Was it a gradual thing? Did you recognize what was going on? How did that happen?
Well, I think we were on vacation, and I just knew, you know, he came to me and said, I'm gone now, but I'll never leave you. And it was one of those things that, you know, when you're, you know, essentially a kid, you think, you know, what's going on here? And then you go on, and we were on vacation at the time in Colorado, so there were a lot of other things going on. But as, you know, the years progressed, you know, things started to happen, and I knew things, and, you know, it just became more part of my life that, you know, I, you know, found that our lives, a lot of things paralleled, and, you know, he was always there.
Did you recognize him as George Reeves?
Oh, yes.
You did. Okay. Okay. Well, as you can hear in the background, we have a musical bed there. That indicates that we have to take a bit of a break. Just stay with us. We'll keep on going on the other side of the break. My name is Victor Vigiani, and you're listening to The Conspiracy Show.
Don't be afraid of the dark. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett.
Adventures of Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
I played that clip for a very specific reason, and it's almost a strange synchronicity, both you and Jeannie and Gary. As a young boy, I grew up with George Reeves, every single episode of Superman. I had the red cape. I jumped off the side of my couch, pretended that I could fly. Up at the cottage, I would leap off the swing that my granddad had built in the back of the cottage on the two big pine trees, and I'd fly through the air, pumping hard so that I could get as much velocity going as I could. On an occasion, I would hit the side of the cottage, and it would be very, very painful. So I realized then I really wasn't made of steel. But the whole synchronicity of how this is happening this evening with someone like myself who literally grew up with this fellow, both Superman and George, I find it a very interesting coincidence, if nothing else. Gary, you've had a career in research. You spent near 21 years in the private practice as a psychotherapist and sex educator, as a licensed professional.
Right.
You've had quite a background, and even as a Gnostic Catholic priest. So you have pretty well covered the whole gamut of the psychological aspects of this, as well as the spiritual aspects of this.
Right.
At the beginning of this whole thing, how did you first meet Jeannie?
I was teaching some courses at the University of Cincinnati, and Jean came into my my autumn course, and I was teaching a course on dreams in the winter, and she was in that course. And then I was teaching a course in the spring on Western inner traditions, and she came in that course. And all through those, the first meeting, she asked for my card, my business card, and eventually in the third quarter, she set up an appointment. The odd thing was, on the day that she set up the appointment, I picked up the phone to make an outgoing call, and she was on the line already, and that just sort of blew me away. She set up an appointment, and when she came in, she told me the story that there was a spirit with her by the name of George Reeves. You know, as a psychotherapist, the first thing that popped in my mind was that I'm dealing with a psychotic here. And she presented a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a George Reeves fan or a Superman fan. By the second interview I had with her, this spirit began to talk to me. Immediately I thought, well, I may be dealing with a mobile personality here. But as time went on, I became eventually convinced that Jean was having some kind of a delusional experience, and I set out to crack some holes in it. But as time went on, it flipped back on me. And as a matter of fact, we ended up at the Super Museum in Metropolis, Illinois. And through Jean, George names costumes he wore, ones he didn't wear, a certificate from Pope Pius, all confirmed by the curator. And I was totally blown away. And so all of my little psychological theories began to crumble. And eventually, because of that experience with Jean and George and some other experiences, I was working with people that were dying of AIDS, and I was having some profound spiritual experiences there as well. Those combined, I eventually left being a psychotherapist and became a Gnostic Catholic priest. So I view this whole experience as a continuum from the psychological to the spiritual.
Now, could you just very quickly, if you could, kind of encapsulate the clinical description of this merging of the souls? We're not talking about, you know, two separate entities here or soulmates. You're talking about some sort of merging. What's the clinical description of this,
well,
if there is one?
We have none. The closest we can come to, or closest I can come to, is like a unitive experience in which, like the mother and the child, or the baby that is in her, when she gives birth, she's still psychologically and spiritually connected with that child.
Mm-hmm.
Jean and George are similar. Now, in their particular case, they say that their souls split apart as male and female and has gone through lifetimes after lifetimes experiencing different variations of love. This whole concept can be traced back to Plato. And also the Persians talked about it, this concept of twin souls. And when the merger takes place is when the souls have gone through various incarnations, and they're ready to finish a specific lifetime, and then they merge to go on and experience other lifetimes. So my hunch is that this lifetime, see, George is waiting for Jean to die so they can be together and go into the light together. George hasn't gone into the light. So my hunch is that this is the last lifetime that Jean and George are going to have in our physical reality, and they're going to move on. But it is a unitive experience. It's almost like a so to classify it in a psychological or psychiatric way is very difficult. Real way of looking at it is through a spiritual context, and that's why I call it a unitive experience. Those experiences are in the mystical. And Jean and George are having that type of experience.
Jeannie,
yeah.
What does it feel like? Can you give us a sense of what it actually physically feels like to experience this?
In what respect?
Well, I'm sitting here trying to imagine.
From me or it's kind of evolved, like you said, things. As we have gone along, have kind of changed, and I guess as I'm getting older and getting closer to, you know, the end days, it's going to change even more. That he's more part of me, and you know, for Gary, we would split off sometimes. I mean, he did all kinds of experiments to see, you know, what was going on when we were getting together, and. Now it's hard to tell the difference. I live my life now, and this is what George wants, that I get the experiences here. But, you know, he's still here. He's still part of me. And, you know, and I can tell sometimes the difference in thought processes, as it were, things he wants me to experience. As he did, in a way.
So I guess what I'm asking you too is, when you find out information like Gary just, such as Gary just told us about the costumes, the ones he did wear and the ones he didn't wear during the TV program, how would he have related that to you? Would it be a verbal communication? Would it be some sort of sensual experience? Would it be a telepathic experience? Just how would that information have been transmitted to you?
It's just like talking to you. He was talking. It's like he was using his experience and talking through me, as it were, that I was the, you know, I guess the popular word is medium, but that wasn't exactly it.
Right.
You know, it was him saying, you know, this, I didn't use that. You know, this was some other time, and, you know, this obviously was put together, and I would just know things.
All right.
Would this experience be like almost predestined? It was supposed to happen at some point in your life? I mean, what kind of bond is it, and how intimate is it, and how drawn was he to you or you to him?
Oh, yeah, it was meant to be, you know, and we found that out later on as, you know, we went through things that, and I guess that's why, you know, as you were as a child, I was drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
And after I grew, I didn't know why after a while that, and it wasn't just the Superman show. I'd know other things that he was doing, other films, other parts of his life. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was, you know, I'm showing you how it was with me, and this is how it's going to be with you.
I see. Gary, I want to throw something at you. Do you get a sense that George Reeves, as you have come to know him through Jeannie, do you think that he was, at some point in his life or all of his life, was he predisposed to this kind of psychological, whatever you might want to call it? Was this something that he knew about, or that it was eventually going to happen, or did it just happen, or was he predisposed to it all of his life?
Let me give you a term. There is a term in psychiatry called a dual unity,
mm-hmm.
and that is very similar to what is going on with Jean and George. Now, to address this particular question that you just asked, George didn't realize until he died what his destiny was with Gene. He had his, he told me his spirit guide. And I forget the name of the spirit guide, but he told this spirit guide to find Gene. And he found Jean, and then George went to her and went into her dreams. And that's when he told her that he would be with her. Now, now since you're talking with Jean, George is there as well. So you may want to ask George a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I used to work with them, I would talk with Gene a while, and then I would talk with George. Unlike a mobile personality, to where there's sort of an eye click, there's an odd stare, or some kind of a shift, it's like I was accessing both people, both identities, at the same time. And I even had an outside psychologist give them both a high-powered psychological a test called the MMPI, and there were two distinct identities. Gene took it once, and a few hours later, through Gene, George took it, and there were two totally different profiles that emerged. So there's two distinct personalities there. Now, I did an experiment once with George. I was trying to see if George could pull away from Gene. And I had a court appearance around an estate. One of my clients died. And George came to that court appearance, and he described it perfectly. So he was able to pull away from Gene. And normally he would be able to do that when Gene was asleep. But if you have a particular question that you want to address to George, you can do that, and he will answer you through Gene.
Mm-hmm. So there's actually a conduit through which George can express himself through Gene.
Right. And since you were a fan of George Reeves, you may want to ask him something. Since you have with Gene, you have them both there.
Well, I was just going to ask the question of Genie. You know, is this something that you can turn on and off, or is it just like he's there all the time, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "It's my turn"?
It's the latter.
Okay.
He doesn't always say it's my turn.
he sort of jumps right, or he just flies right in, I guess. Right? Yeah.
That was George just
there. You know what? We'll talk to George when we get back. Because of my background with this man from Krypton, I just might be able to conjure up a question when we get back. My name is Victor Vigiani, and you're listening to The Conspiracy Show.
When you look at the sky, ever wonder if someone's looking back? This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett.
This is my first time actually meeting Gene Klein, and psychically I can sense the presence of George Reeves.
Nobody could really give me an answer why he came to me. Well, 3.5 years ago, I took one of Gary Duncan's courses, and I found out all the answers.
His client is having a relationship with the spirit of George Reeves, who was the television Superman from the 50s and 60s.
Well, it happened when I was 13 years old on the day he died. And it was George in white, and he said, "I'm gone now, but I'll never leave you." I pulled the trigger, but someone else put the live shots in the gun. The live shots in the gun. "Now, but I'll never leave you."
It failed.
George.
Yes. 13 years ago.
13 years ago.
Actually.
What kind of life?
7 years ago.
Okay. What kind of life are you living right now?
Very quiet, in comparison to the way it was.
how was it before?
Well, you know, I was quite a nightlifer. She's not. We're antithesis.
I see. Tell me about your love-hate relationship with this role that you played.
Well, it got me the name recognition I wanted, but it killed my career, and that's why I feel sorry for the
the guys that came behind me, you know, look what happened to some of them, too. It's a leg up, not a boot out the door.
I guess the other question that I have to ask you is, what is your assessment of the life that you lived?
Good question.
Well, we always can do better things. In Hollywood, you have a skewed view of reality as such, and when you become a quote-unquote personality, it becomes even more so. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of good or you can do a lot of harm. And a few of the things I tried to do good with, and like her, I like to work with children. But on the other hand, you know, the partying and that got out of hand. But again, it's where you are and what you're doing at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's still that way. Part of being a celebrity is being out, and being out is out in the party life.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning another life to get it right this time? Or to try to make things right that you didn't have right to begin with?
Well, existence is a learning experience, you know. You find out, and that's when you leave, you find out, did I learn what I was supposed to learn this time? And if you didn't, then you find another existence to try to learn that lesson, more or less. Mm-hmm. And yes, we probably will. You know, as Gary said, maybe not here, but somewhere we will find out what we need to learn and learn that. You hate to say evolution, because that becomes a bad word in this reality, but you evolve into a higher being. Mm-hmm.
Do you take much time away from Jeannie?
Not a lot.
Why not?
No need to at this point.
I see.
No, but there was a time when I had to separate them. You remember that, George?
Yes.
Remember how peeved off you got at me?
Yes.
Okay, I just it went through my mind. How do you feel talking to George? Did you notice the slight differences when you were talking with Gene?
Okay, with that, folks, we're going to take a break. I just need to catch my breath after that little episode. I just fell out of the chair. Let's take a break, and we'll continue this on the other side. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show, and my name is Victor Vigiani. Here we are back again. We are speaking with Gary Duncan and Jeannie Klein, and we're talking about, I guess, all of the aspects of their book, Twin Souls. That is the melding, or however you want to call it, of George Reeves and Jeanne Klein. Very quickly, Gary, if I could, the idea of what Jeannie is going through right now, and I sort of picked up on it in your article, regarding, first of all, regardless of what the materialists say, there is something very, very strange going on here, and there are other realities that they do exist. I think I know that for sure myself. I don't know how I know it, but I do know it. But the other thing that I want to address, it's a more physical aspect of what's going on here, not necessarily the more ethereal ones, and that is the idea that Jeanne is somehow shape-shifting, looking like the late George Reeves. Now, that is something that I find completely incomprehensible. Not that I don't believe it or not believe it, but I just... It's just hard to get my mind wrapped around that idea.
When that first started, I started taking pictures of Jeanne, and what I discovered, and this blew me away as a therapist, that they were having a sexual relationship. A spirit was and Gene in the physical flesh and George in the spirit. And during the orgasmic phase, an energy would leave George and go into Gene. And as this process occurred, Gene started shape-shifting. She started looking more and more and more like George Reeves. And at that time, the first thing that crossed my mind was spirit possession, sort of like in the voodoo trance, the person in the trance, they shape-shift somewhat. And I started investigating that, but it didn't pan out. But there was some sort of an energy that was passing between George during those lovemaking sessions. And that's what I alluded to earlier, because it got so bad for Gene that it was totally exhausting. And I had to create a special room in Gene's inner world so that she could go into and be free from George Reeves during that period of time. But it was during that time that there was heavy lovemaking. An energy passed through him into her, and she started taking on his physical characteristics. And that's when I started taking pictures.
I see. And that seems to be evolving more and more.
Right, right. Gene has masculinized to the point that at times she can be in a ladies' room, and a woman will come in while Gene is in there, and she will look and she'll see Gene and think that she's in the wrong bathroom.
I see.
And Gene will say, "No, you're in the right one." yeah, she's becoming more and more physically masculine, looking more and more like George Reeves.
Now, Gene, do you actually feel this occurring, or how's that happening?
You mean the transformation?
Yeah, in a tactile sense.
Well, it's just kind of like aging. You know, you get up in the morning and, you know, the hair is gray now. You know, then it's the way it happened then. It was kind of gradual and, you know, and I'd thought in the picture in the book, if you've seen it,
I
thought in a way I looked like him anyway. And I even wrote some letters because I thought, well, maybe there is a connection, and that's why I'm looking more like him. Maybe there is a background, you know, genetically that, you know, we have a common relative because we were from the same, you know, from Illinois, the same areas.
Right.
Part of my mother's history, I don't know, because she was adopted, and, you know, he didn't know a lot about his history either. Some of it was shielded from him. And, you know, I thought that was a possibility because but I could see it more, and, you know, as Gary said, I became more masculine looking, and I don't know if it's because I look like a little old man now.
Now, is this something that is an evolution both physically and you're becoming the taking on this male persona or whatever you would want to call it? Is there a similar spiritual evolution going on in you?
Between that's right. The two of us are together. Yes. You said, you know, Gary said, "Well, I'm not moving around much anymore." Asking him if I'm going out anymore, and you know, we're just together, and you know, we're just living this life now together.
Well, that brings me to the point of asking this question of the personification of this individual, Mr. Reeves, and Gene's psychological, I guess, involvement in all of that. It seems to be, at least to me anyways, there is a soul awaiting some sort of completion here, either the transition into one soul or Reeves' real identity or whatever it happens to be. There seems to be a movement towards some sort of completion. And what kind of sense do you feel that it will be complete? And do you have any sense of where it's going, I guess, is what I'm asking you?
Oh, yeah, I think, well, and that's what it seemed, you know, like, what's the purpose of this? And this is what we asked all along when the experience started, you know, why? You know, why is he here with me? Why me? And I think that's the conclusion, too, that once the physical body dies, then we will, you know, be together and go on, evaluate and see, you know, what the next step in our evolution happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, as an observer of all of this, I guess I could ask you the same kind of question: is where do you see this going, and is there anything that you do as a facilitator to move it along? Do you monitor it? Do you guide, support? What is your role in this movement towards completion?
Well, what I have been looking at, and I've been dealing with a lot of other cases of twin souls, or what's called twin souls. Nothing approaches this Gene and George phenomenon. But it from a spiritual perspective, what I see this is about is it's about that we're all interconnected in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Gene and George, they came here in this lifetime, he spirit, her physical, to show that they are connected from this world into this next world. And I think that there's a larger picture here. And it's like, why do souls split apart? I mean, I don't know that answer, but I do feel that Gene and George, their soul is in other lifetimes as well. This is only one lifetime, and they're coming together in this lifetime to move on, but I believe that their soul is in other lifetimes at the same time that we're in this lifetime in parallel realities. So as I monitor them, what I'm looking at is I'm looking at all the other cases I've been working with, and I compare those cases to the Gene and George case. This is a totally different situation. It's very different from any of the other cases I am working with. I'm also talking to not talking but emailing a lady in Australia that's having a similar experience, but nothing on the gravity of Gene and George. So as I monitor it, I'm looking at all these other cases and comparing it and trying to figure out what is the big picture here. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to find.
Well, I think the big picture is what humanity can learn from these kinds of situations. If this kind of melding, or whatever you want to call it, is something that's universal, and it shows us that in some way we are in always connected with everybody,
right?
So that you and I have a certain affinity for one another, and that just goes for humanity, period, which is not something in secular society that's easily either A, explainable, or accepted by people. And this kind of instance kind of stands up and indicates that there is something going on. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the acceptance of the mystery of the Trinity and how Catholicity has brought this into being, either through enlightenment or whatever you want to call it, inspiration. Is there any similarities with that in a religious context?
In some of the Edgar Cayce readings, he talks about, you mentioned the Trinity. He talks about something very, very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
That the twin soul is a very sacred experience. But he doesn't talk about this physical transformation. He just says they split apart and they come back together at the point of completion, mm-hmm. to go back into one soul.
Okay, we are just about coming to a bit of a closure here, and there's about another 1,000 questions that I would have for both of you, but our time is limited. Jeannie, just a word about your book, very quickly.
I'm sorry?
Just a word.
Would you like to know?
No, just a word about your book. Where did you get it?
Ask Gary that.
Okay. Well, then, Gary, I'll ask you three questions then.
On Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also go to the publisher's website, which is www.twinsoulsmerging.com.
I see. Okay. And I understand, Gary, you're in the midst of writing a book, Death, Transcendence, and Beyond.
Right, right. I've worked with a lot of people that are dying, and I've developed a method to help them go into the next journey.
I see.
And I've been exploring how that journey takes form, mm-hmm. and what they're to expect once they go into the light. And that's what that's. And I'm also writing a series of articles for New Dawn mm-hmm. about the spiritual connections, to how you can talk to people that have crossed over. And this journey I take people on, and I'm writing an article now on what the spirit and soul are.
Well, an absolutely fascinating 45 minutes or so that I really hope that we can get you back on again and maybe drill down a little deeper into all of this, because it's something that, because of my affiliation with the character of that George portrayed, and also the wider cultural, religious, and human aspects of what's going on here. It's not something you can cover in 45 minutes and say, well, it's all done.
Well, all you have to do is send me an email.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say, George or Gene?
Well, we're all connected. And I think that's the big thing that we found out. You know, we went into past life experiences and things that Gary and our other partner, Daryl, have done together. And sometimes you meet people and you think, boy, they're familiar, you know, and you have a good relationship with these people, and you continue that through your life experience this time, and mm-hmm. We're just all connected, and so much of in this reality doesn't acknowledge that.
Well, that's
part of each other.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that concerns me the most, that the reality that we live in just won't accept this other paradigm.
Right.
And it is a kind of a bothersome thing when you're speaking to people and you get literally the physical feeling that there's no way that they will ever accept this idea of what's going on. In any case, thank you both very, very much for joining me this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we hope that we can get you back on very, very soon.
And I have really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night now.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.